Welcome to episode 54 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, as always, Matt Skura, and we have my fantastic co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. Caleb, how are you doing this fine Saturday, June 12th, 2021?
Man, I'm doing real good, my boy. Real good. Can't complain. It's a sunny day outside here in California, my man. It's a great day, bro. How you doing, man? How's it out there in Texas?
Man, I am doing good as well. The Texas heat is coming because now that's official summer. Get the good old Texas heat. But, hey, it's going pretty good right now. We have a lot to discuss this episode, NBA and NFL related. But before we get into that, Caleb, where can the people listening to this episode find all the great work that you do?
They can find me on Instagram at @1CalebConnett, and they can find me on Twitter at @CalebConnett2. So CalebConnett 2, and on Instagram at @CalebConnett. Boom. Where can they find you at, bro?
Well, they can find my stuff. My Instagram is Matt_Skura20. I have a link in the bio, which is the link tree, which gives you access to where this podcast is available. It's available everywhere. For example, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It's available everywhere. You can also find my Twitter, Matt_Skura. With that being said, let's get into today's episode of discussion. Today, we will be recapping the NBA first round. Caleb, Your quick thoughts on some first round series. Let's first start in the Western Conference. The only series that went to seven games, the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Dallas Mavericks. Caleb, quick thoughts on that series.
Impressed with the Clippers. Impressed. Dallas, man, y'all need another piece. Dallas needs another piece. We know that they're close, they're there, but they need another piece. As far as the Clippers, definitely impressed, though. What would you say?
Man, I'm going to go at the different approach. I'm going to go disappointment with the Dallas Mavericks. Just because you're up 2-0 in the series, you're supposed to get the job done. You can't let a team like the Clippers get back into the series, because look at what happened. They got back in the series. They won it in seven. Very disappointed with the Dallas Mavericks. And you made a fantastic point, Caleb, in saying they need another piece, because they do. Because the duo of Luka and Porzingis is just not going to cut it, especially when the other duo, Porzingis, doesn't pull his weight around.
Right. That's right. And the thing is, you know, Porzingis might have some troubles, but he just doesn't look the same, right? He doesn't look the same.
Yeah, he definitely does not look the same. Let's move on to another series. Our beloved Lakers, the defending champs, went down to the Phoenix Suns in six games. And, man, I'll start off first by saying I'm impressed with the Phoenix Suns. Nice. Boy, was I wrong about the Phoenix Suns. I thought this matchup series, I thought for sure this would be one of those series where the Lakers, they would just take control of the series with LeBron and AD, and they would just prove to the Suns that you may be a two seed, but it doesn't matter. You're a two seed. We're the Lakers. We're defending champs. But boy, was I wrong. Phoenix Suns showed up. Chris Paul was dominant. Devin Booker was a superstar. DeAndre Ayton played great. And, you know, I'm excited to see how far the Phoenix Suns can go. And I'll then throw it to you, Caleb. Suns win the series in six games. Quick reaction to that.
Man, impressed, to say the least. I was impressed with them back when they were in the playoff. Were trying to make a run for the playoffs last year. They went 10-0 and still didn't get in the play-in game. But with that being said, you know, the growth in Booker and Ayton very definitely showed in the bubble. And it's continued to be on display throughout this whole season. So I got to say impressed with the Suns. Disappointed with my Lakers, but not too disappointed, because we did have a lot of injuries, you know. We'll be back next year, though. We just got to retool a couple things, you know.
Yes, sir. Love the confidence. We'll be back next year. The next series to get into, let's discuss the Denver Nuggets versus the Portland Trail Blazers. Nuggets winning the series in six games. Caleb, your reaction to that series with Denver winning it in six games.
Ah, man. You know what? I was that guy who was like, I had the Blazers in seven. And honestly, throughout that whole series, I thought that series was most definitely one of the most entertaining just because a lot of those games went down to the wire. And the Denver Nuggets did a good job. So I was definitely impressed with the Nuggets to see, you know, if they could go make some more damage in the playoffs. But overall, impressed with Denver, disappointed with Portland.
I'll go at the approach of I'm disappointed in Portland due to the fact that I believe it was game five. It was either game four or game five. Damian Lillard drops 55 points
and 10 assists.
And you lose in double overtime. You know, it was game five. Damian Lillard literally poured his heart and soul out on the court, and yet they lost the game. They go on to lose the series. I think, in my opinion, if I'm Portland, they better get this next coaching hire connect, which we will discuss later in this episode. But they need to get the right coach in for the Portland Trail Blazers. But I'm also looking at from the Denver side of things. This series showed why Nikola Jokic was the MVP, because I mean he just went out there dominating the series, and I also love the other side players stepping up, like Michael Porter Jr. Fantastic game six, and you know hopefully you know I know Denver they're in a hole early in the second round versus the Phoenix Suns, which we'll discuss later, but great first round series win for Denver. Now, this one will probably be a quick, easy no-brainer. Utah Jazz versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Utah winning it in five. I'll start off first by saying this was just dominance by the Jazz. One team clearly had more playoff experience than the other, and it showed. But one thing I will say, the Memphis Grizzlies are building on the right path. They are on a good trajectory for the future with Ja Morant. I'll then throw you that same question, Caleb. Utah winning the series in five games in the first round. Your thoughts on that?
Man, you know what? You know what? You couldn't have said it any better. That was just pure dominance. That's totally what it was, you know? We've been seeing a lot of that with the Utah Jazz most recently, even against the Clippers, just pure dominance. And you know, it seems like ever since Shaq criticized Donovan Mitchell, that woke up a beast. And the Utah Jazz have been thriving ever since. So I was definitely impressed with the Jazz. Definitely also impressed with Utah, though, because they did make the games competitive. And they showed that I think they're a team that needs one more piece as well. And they're definitely ready to compete because, you know, Ja Morant's just a dog. He's a dog.
Yeah, John Morant's definitely a dog. Now let's move on to the Eastern Conference side of things. This was a very dominant Eastern Conference. No series went to six games. It either went to five games or it went to a sweep. Let's discuss a series that was a sweep. The Milwaukee Bucks versus the Miami Heat. Milwaukee winning the series 4-0. Caleb, I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to go with this, but your thoughts on this series between the Bucks and the Heat?
Pure dominance. That's my thought. Pure dominance, dude. That's it. That's all it was. No, yeah. But you know what? I mean, that's what the Bucks should have done. They should have went up and just dominated, you know? There's been plenty of times that they fucking lost game ones to eight seeds and to seven seeds, and they fucked off a lot of shit. So, I mean, I like what I'm seeing from the Bucks so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. This was straight dominance by Milwaukee, and I think they set the tone, because remember, this is the same Heat team that went into Milwaukee in the bubble and just embarrassed them. Like, yeah. Milwaukee was embarrassed last year in five games. I think Milwaukee, like the great MJ said in The Last Dance, he took it personally. Like, the Bucks took it personally, and they just flat out dominated the Heat. And I think it all started in game one. Once the Heat lost game one, you kind of knew, like, man, the Heat just let it slip, and they're not coming back in the series. And it showed. Milwaukee right. dominated. They moved on to round two to play none other than the Brooklyn Nets. And we'll talk about the Brooklyn Nets versus the Boston Celtics. Brooklyn wins the series in five games. I'll start off first by saying I think this was another dominant series. I mean, remember, Caleb, you and I stated earlier on our previous episode when we created the first round, I simply said, look, man, the Nets were going to win the series in five games. And lo and behold, I was correct. I said the Nets would take the first two, and then Tatum would have to drop at least 50 points in one game for them to win one. Boston did just that, and lo and behold, the Nets win the series in five. I just think one team was clearly better than the next, and that was, in my opinion, the whole highlight in the entire first round of the Eastern Conference. One team was clearly better than the other. And I'll throw it up to you, Caleb. Your thoughts on the Nets versus the Boston Celtics first round series?
You know what? Like you said earlier, pure dominance. Pure dominance. That's exactly what it was. That is exactly what it was. I think with Boston having Jaylen Brown, though, I must say, I think if Boston were to have Jaylen Brown, I think they would have been a little bit more competitive. Kemba, like I mentioned in the previous episode, I said it was Kemba's time to, you know, show and prove to, you know, the organization that he could stay there and, you know, be a good third option. He didn't step up as much as people thought he should. I thought he should. I thought he could have done more, but who knows who he was dealing with on the injury side. You know, after that series is over, obviously we start seeing rumors about the Kemba chatter and whatnot. So, hey, like I said, I feel like I was right there, you know. I mean, it was pure dominance. Boston has to go back to the drawing board, but at least, you know, they know what they got in Jason Tatum.
Yeah, they've got something special in Jason Tatum. Let's move on to a series that not a lot of people expected 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the Knicks and the Hawks were near the rock bottom of the Eastern Conference. And here they are 2 years later as the fourth and the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. But the Atlanta Hawks, as a fifth seed, beat the New York Knicks in five games. I'll start off first by saying I'm very disappointed in the New York Knicks. I honestly thought this was a series to where the New York Knicks were to go up to the Hawks. It would be a good series, but they would pull away in six games. But I'm more disappointed in Julius Randle, because this was a time Julius Randle can show why he was the most improved player. And, you know, call it what it is, first time being in the playoffs, but he did not show up well. He did not play good. And, you know, it might affect him in the future if he wants a contract extension. But, you know, it's just – you know, I'm disappointed in the Knicks just because they finally had hope and expectations, and it kind of slipped a little bit. But I will say the Knicks do have a bright future. Tom Thibodeau is starting to build in the right direction. He has the Knicks rolling. Maybe they'll add some piece in the future, but, you know, just disappointed with how they played against the Atlanta Hawks. I'll then throw you the same question to you, Caleb. With the Atlanta Hawks winning in five games, what were kind of your thoughts on that series?
Man, that's exactly what I said would happen. I said that would happen. That's exactly what I said would happen. And it happened. You feel me? Again, I think Atlanta is a very, 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 very talented team, very deep. And you know, they definitely have a squad, like I've mentioned in not only the previous episodes, but months ago. that they have a squad, and they definitely showed they do. Now looking at them against Philly, you know, they're playing a better team. So we'll see how they stack up. But I still see that series going to six. Like, people really got to wake up on Atlanta. So I was definitely more than impressed with Atlanta. As far as the Knicks, man, you know, it's tough on their end.
Yeah, it definitely is. And with that being said, let's talk about the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Washington Wizards. As many of you guys know, the Philadelphia 76ers won that series in five games. Caleb, your first reaction to that first round series win by the Philadelphia 76ers?
Man, I got to say impressed. They did what they were supposed to do.
Definitely short and sweet to the point. I agree with you as well, Caleb. With the Sixers took care of business. I knew the Wizards would get one game just because you got Beal and Westbrook. They're two guys that are just too competitive to get swept. So one game four, Sixers took care of business. With that being said, let's move on to our thoughts of round two. Now, round two, Caleb, as you mentioned earlier, the 76ers going up against the Atlanta Hawks. As of right now, it is 2-1. Philadelphia leads the series. Now, when I saw this series, I had a feeling that Philadelphia would win this series in about 5 to 6 games. I didn't really see it going to 7. As of right now, it's still standing tall. To that point, I'll throw the question out to you, Caleb. You are really high on the Atlanta Hawks, giving them some nice praise. They're down 2-1 in this series. Is there any chance Atlanta has of coming back and possibly winning this series? Or do you still think that it's going to be Philadelphia series? They're going to find a way to close it out in 5, 6, or even 7 games?
Well, obviously, you know, just got to give Philadelphia the respect they deserve. It's their series to lose. And even at this point, you know, them being up 2-1, still this their series to lose. But then again, man, I got a lot of confidence in the Hawks, bro. They're a deep team with about 9-10 guys that they can play easily, and they do a good job at their job. You know, they shoot the three, they run and gun and die by the three, and it works for them. They continue to play their game. So, I mean, I still got to go with it's Philly series to lose, though. Have to.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I feel like this is a series to where Philadelphia has to win. Doc Rivers, in my opinion, as a head coach, cannot afford to have another early round exit, because he's had too many times. He was with the Clippers. They had too many good teams, and they always fell short. He cannot fall short with this Philadelphia 76ers team, because, one, this is Philly. Philadelphia, they do not accept losing early. I mean, this is the same Philly fan base that booed Santa Claus at one point. I mean, yeah, it was the Philadelphia Eagles, but like, they booed Santa. They are not going to let Doc slide if the Sixers blow the series. Now, I don't think it'll happen. I think Philadelphia will win this series. I think it'll probably be in 5 games. It could go 6, but I think it's one of those where Philadelphia, they're going to take care of business, and hopefully they do, because if they don't, then heads are going to roll in Philadelphia. And, you know, but Atlanta's a good team. They're not going to give up. I think game 4 is really going to decide the series, which game 4 is Monday, June 14th. I think game 4 will tell a lot about this series. If Philadelphia wins game 4, I think Philadelphia will close out game 5. But if Atlanta can tie the series at 2 games apiece, I think the series has a good chance to go the distance. But hopefully Philadelphia takes care of business. Let's then move on to round 2. Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn leads the series 2-1. I'll start off first by saying I was a little wrong on the Milwaukee Bucks. I made a little playoff bracket. Obviously, it's busted because my Lakers lost in the first round. But I had an upset of the Bucks beating the Nets in the series. Now, it still can't happen. But I'm a little disappointed from the start of Milwaukee because Milwaukee, before game three, man, they were just getting dominated. Like, Brooklyn just came out steamrolling. Even though they lost James Harden, they were just rolling with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and their bench was stepping up in big moments. But one thing I did see in game three, I saw life out of Milwaukee. This series, in my opinion, is going to be decided tomorrow.
Yeah.
Game four between the Bucks and the Nets. If the Brooklyn Nets go into Milwaukee and win game four, this series is over. It's going to be done in five games. Yeah. But if Milwaukee can find a way to even this series at two games apiece, the Brooklyn Nets, I think, are going to start looking at James Harden and say, hey, are you ready for game five? That's in my opinion how this series will go. Because if Brooklyn is up 3-1, I don't see James Harden coming back in this series. But if the series is tied at 2, pay attention to how the Brooklyn Nets are going to be looking at James Harden, because they might look at James and say, look, James, I know you're playing through a hammy, I know you're hurt, but we might need you on limited minutes because we got to close the series out. Because if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you cannot afford to fail to make it to the NBA Finals. You just can't. You have KD, you have Kyrie Irving, you got James Harden, you got Blake Griffin, who decides to put people on posters again. You know, this is a Nets team to where, in a way, it's championship or bust. Because you go all in, you get Harden, and, you know, it's going to be one of those where you'll be a big disappointment. So, depending on how this game four shapes out, it's going to really decide how this series will go. Because if Milwaukee ties a series, it could very well go the distance of seven games.
Yeah.
But if Brooklyn wins game four tomorrow, I expect it to be done in five games. I don't expect Milwaukee to come back down 3-1. Now, it has happened before, but I think this Brooklyn Nets team is just too good. If they come out with a victory in game four tomorrow, then you could expect this series to be done in five games, maybe six if Milwaukee has a source of life. But if Brooklyn wins tomorrow, it's pretty much going to be done and over with in five games. With that being said, I'm sorry. Did I forget to ask your thoughts on this series?
No, but I wanted to say something. With that being said, bro, We Dante DaVinci for the Milwaukee Bucks was a painful loss, bro.
You did not just say Dante DaVinci.
I call him Dante DaVinci, bro. I call him Dante DaVinci.
I love it. And for the viewers out there, it is pronounced Dante DiVincenzo. But as our great co-host Caleb Connett, his nickname, Mr. Dante DaVinci. Like Leonardo da Vinci, but on the court. So Dante da Vinci, he is an important part of the Milwaukee Bucks. Sadly, I believe he is hurt. Now, with that being said, is there any chance at all he comes back in this series? Or is it one of those where, like, he's done, he's finished? Like, he's not even going to have a shot.
He's finished, bro. He's finished.
That's tough.
It sucks. But because if you go look specifically at game three, The Milwaukee Bucks got lucky. I don't mean to criticize.
They so did. Like, why would you have Bruce Brown?
He has 16 and 11. And that dude's a fucking shooting guard.
What are we doing? Now you have to give the Bucks props. They played fantastic defense on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, because that's what you're supposed to do.
They play the best they can.
Yeah, they sure did. I hopefully Milwaukee can win game four to make the series more interesting. But if Brooklyn takes care of business game four, I think you and I can both agree that this series will be over in five games if Brooklyn takes care of business tomorrow.
I could agree with that. But again, Milwaukee is going to have to figure out something. Six bitch points is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it tomorrow. Six bitch points in totals is not going to cut it. So, hey, figure it out, Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the thing is with Milwaukee is Giannis is playing good in this series. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the only reason why the Bucks have a fighting chance in this series. It's the other players around him that has to step up. Like, Chris Middleton, I better see Chris Middleton drop 25, 30 points tomorrow in this game four, because last I checked, he's getting paid like a number two option, and he's not playing like it.
Wait a minute. Last night, he had more than Giannis, and he had more rebounds than Giannis. He had 35 and 15. He was really the reason they won that game, that game three.
Besides that game three, how about this? How about this, Chris Middleton? Follow it up again.
Follow up that same performance
you had in game three. Because one thing's for certain, if you don't follow up that same performance in game three and the Bucks lose game four and they go on to lose a series, they're going to be looking at you. They're not going to be looking at Giannis, because Giannis does everything he could. Now, he was disappointing last year against Miami, but he's been great so far this postseason. He's been playing very well. He was dominant in the Heat series. He's played good so far against the Nets. I mean, from the games that I've seen him play, I don't think he's had a bad game. I think he's dropped, 30-plus points almost every game of the series. In my opinion, it's all about the other players. Like you mentioned, Caleb, 6 bench points is not going to cut it. Step up for Milwaukee to do well in this game four. Let's move on to the Western Conference. The game tonight, the Utah Jazz against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Utah Jazz are up 2-0 over the Los Angeles Clippers. Caleb, how much pressure is on the Los Angeles Clippers tonight? Because if they lose this game, they're down 3-0. So how much pressure do you believe is on the Clippers to win this game tonight against the Utah Jazz?
A lot of pressure, bro. The series will be decided tonight in some type of way, kind of. Some sort of way. We'll see. If the Clippers can take care of business, they have a fighter chance. But I feel like if they lose tonight, it's over. It's over. And they definitely got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like kind of the same point that I mentioned with the Milwaukee and Brooklyn series. This series is going to be decided tonight. If the Clippers win this game tonight, they extend the series another day. Now, keep in mind, the Clippers just last series against the Mavericks, they were down 0-2. They did come back and tie the series at 2 and eventually won in 7 games. But this Utah Jazz team is very different compared to Dallas. The Clippers are now in a situation of you have to take it one game at a time. You have to win game 3 tonight. You got to take care of game 4 to at least tie up the series. So we'll see how they play tonight. But I think, in my opinion, all eyes are going to be on Paul George. Because Kawhi Leonard, we know Kawhi Leonard is going to show up. We know Kawhi Leonard shows up most of the time in the big moments. Now, if he doesn't, boy, it's going to be a bad look on Kawhi Leonard. Because the only time Kawhi Leonard needed to step up, he needed to show up in game 6 against the Mavericks. And what did Kawhi Leonard do? Dropped nearly 50 points, and they won the game. The entire Clippers staff, players, Tyronn Lue as a coach, they have to step up tonight, and they have to win game 3. I don't care if you lose the series in 5 or 6 games. The Clippers, they cannot get swept. I repeat, the Clippers, you cannot get swept by the Utah Jazz, because if you do, changes will be made. And you also have to think, Kawhi Leonard, he is a free agent after this season. Now, it may be rare for him to leave the Clippers, but you have to leave that option open, because Kawhi can look at it and say, I've been on this team, I got my sidekick Paul George here for 2 years, and we still can't make it to the conference finals. The New York Knicks are looking pretty good with the young piece. You know, there's always that option open. Do I think he'll personally leave? No. I think he'll stay with the Clippers. I mean, Kawhi, he's accomplished everything. He's already got two rings, two finals MVPs. He's won Defensive Player of the Year already. So he's set in stone. But the Clippers front office got to look and say, hey, man, we got a lot of pressure on the line here. The season for the Clippers is definitely on the line tonight. Because yeah. if you fall 0-3, there's an NBA stat line where it says teams are 0-142 when you're down 3-0 in the series. With that being said, let's move on to the Denver-Phoenix series. Phoenix, boy, they have been dominant. They dominated the defending champion Lakers in 6 games. We thought they hit their peak, but it seems like they are just getting started because they are up a commanding 3-0 over the Denver Nuggets. And they are 1 game away from making it to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2010. And I want to be the first to admit I was wrong about the Phoenix Suns. I have been a heavy sleeper on the Suns. I said the Suns were going to lose to the Lakers in 6 games. I was wrong. I said the Denver Nuggets were going to beat the Phoenix Suns in the series before it started. I looked to be dead wrong. Now, but, I mean, there is still a chance. But, I mean, the way how Game 3 looked last night, man, it looked like Denver was defeated. Because Nikola Jokic literally did everything. I mean, the man dropped 30 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists, and they still lost by 14 points. This series is done. This series is over. I mean, I know Game 4 is tomorrow. I mean, do I think Phoenix goes for a sweep?
They got to. They have no choice.
I don't know if they do go for a sweep, but I do think this series is going to be done. This series is going to be over in 4-5 games. And, man, I just got to say, I got to give the Phoenix some credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Look like they are competing for a championship. They look like they are a team. They look like a team that could possibly win a championship. I mean, if we're being honest here, you know what I mean? They look like a team to where Chris Paul is fully healthy 100%. The Phoenix Suns can go far, man, cuz I mean, this is they're a title contender, and they are showing it here in this Denver series. And if I'm the Phoenix Suns, I hope I close out with a sweep so I could try to get as much rest as possible. But, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow in Game 4. But the Phoenix Suns are in complete command here in this series. And I'll throw it out to you, Caleb. With the Suns being up 3-0, is this more along the lines of Phoenix just continuing their dominance or just the Denver Nuggets simply running out of gas without Jamal Murray?
I think it's the Denver Nuggets simply running out of gas with Jamal Murray, to be honest. They just don't have a guard who could play, make, and create and get their own bucket. You know, Chris Paul is not having to worry about, you know, guarding a young Jamal Murray who's going to go at him most of the game. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he's a big piece. He's and that's a big hole. But even if you look at Jokic's stats last night, he still put up solid stats. I mean, 32, 15, and 10 assists. I mean,
well, he put up 30 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists.
30 points, 20 boards, 10 assists. No Jamal Murray.
And yeah, they still lost by 14.
And they still lost by 14. Aaron Gordon is who needs to step up. 4 points, 4 boards. That's just uncalled for.
Uncalled for? I thought you were going to go with the approach of unacceptable. But
I mean, he at this point, he's – They have a squad. I mean, if you look at Denver, you got Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon. Then you could also throw Bol Bol just to make shit difficult. And then Nikola, like, they have a squad, bro. just people have to step up, and 4 points, 4 points is not enough, you know?
Yeah, you definitely are correct there. I just feel bad for Denver just because I feel like if Jamal Murray were healthy, this series would be very different. I feel like it would be one of those where it could have been 2-1 Phoenix or 2-1 Denver if Jamal Murray were healthy, and this series would be more competitive. But I feel like you and I could both agree this series looks to be done, whether it'll be a sweep in the hands of Phoenix tomorrow or maybe in 5 games. But it'll be one of those to where Phoenix, they look to be on their way to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in over a decade. And with that being said, let's move on to some news that has hit the NBA world. And I was kind of shocked when this happened. Danny Ainge, the former GM of the Boston Celtics, he stepped down, and Brad Stevens gets promoted to his spot. What are kind of your thoughts on – I'll kind of give you two questions, Caleb. What are your thoughts on that happening, and who do you think Brad Stevens will put in as the new head coach for the Boston Celtics?
I was really surprised that happened, but I mean, I think the Celtics did a good business decision move, putting somebody up there who they could trust to act after Danny Ainge and just moving on like that. So I thought it was, a good organizational move as far as just having structure and whatnot. But as far as another coach that they put in, you know, they have a lot of options and what they want to do. I think Mark Jackson would be an interesting coach there since, you know, he was so young with the Warriors.
He also helped build up, you know, the Golden State Warriors to where they were before Steve Kerr came in and kind of put them over the top. But he helped develop Steph and Clay and Draymond into the kind of players that we see as they are today.
Yeah, you know, they definitely have that. They have their Steph and Clay. You know what I'm saying? Their Steph and their Clay is JT and Jaylen Brown. But that Draymond is there. They just don't know who he is. You know?
Huh? I feel like that Draymond Green has to be Marcus Smart. Yeah, I mean, Draymond's a power forward, but Draymond is kind of like that dog, that defender on the team. I think Marcus Smart is that guy, like that lockdown defender on the team.
I mean Marcus Smart is definitely that guy. You also got Grant Williams, you feel me, who in the young crowd could be that guy. I think, you know, at this point, if the Celtics want to make a big splash again, they already let a lot of their assets kind of they didn't trade them for anything, so I mean they use their assets, and I think if they want to get anything big in return to be a third option on their team, they're going to have to trade Kemba Walker along with Marcus Smart and probably a pick to go get somebody that can be a real valuable third option.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel like the Boston Celtics are in a position to where they're either going to be a team that's going to compete for a championship or kind of be stuck in the middle and be a second-round exit. Because we look at Boston, they've consistently made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, I believe they're a team to where they've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals with Brad Stevens, was it, 4 times? When Brad Stevens was the head coach, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I believe it was 4 times. They made it twice. They made it, I think,
I think it's three. I don't know about four.
Yeah, three. Yeah, it was 3 times. I remember it was 2017, 2018, and then last year when they played the Heat. So they've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals many times. They just have to find a way to get over the hump. And I 100% agree with you as well. I thought it was a good move getting somebody they know who can trust in Brad Stevens. Now, I think it'll be interesting to see what Brad Stevens does as a GM. You know, how he's going to approach with the kind of roster that they have. Is he going to make the big trade and get in the big superstar? Because we kind of saw Danny Ainge, he was kind of hesitant on making big moves. Like, Danny Ainge, in my opinion, he had the assets to get Anthony Davis. He could have threw in, if he wanted to, he could have threw in Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart to get Anthony Davis. He didn't want to give up the young pieces. So we'll see the approach that Brad Stevens goes with. If he is going to be aggressive, or is he just going to stay back and stay put? Now, one thing is for certain, the Celtics need to get the right head coach in, because the head coach of the NBA is key to the player's success. Because if you don't have a good coach in there, you're going to be a stagnant team. So hopefully they get it right. Hopefully, you know, like you mentioned, Caleb, they bring in a guy like Mark Jackson, who had a good track record with the Warriors. He helped develop young players into superstars. Hopefully, maybe they throw an offer out to Chauncey Billups. Maybe they throw one out to Sam Cassell. I mean, it could be a long shot. Maybe you could give Mike D'Antoni a second chance. I mean, there's plenty of options you can go with. Let's just hope that the Celtics get the right guy in charge. Now, other teams that need head coaches, the Portland Trailblazers and the Orlando Magic. Now, let's first start off with the Portland Trailblazers. And one of the news that has been thrown out there, Damian Lillard has mentioned and said that he does want Jason Kidd as his head coach or Chauncey Billups. We heard Jason Kidd said no. But if you're the Portland Trailblazers, if Dame Lillard wants Chauncey Billups, if you're the front office, do you go out there and say, you know what, let's go get Chauncey Billups because Damian Lillard wants him? Or do you just go with the approach of, you know what, we're just going to look and see who has the best experience, and we'll just go from there?
Well, you know what, I think if you look at it, the coaching decision is going to tell you a lot. If they go get who Dame wants, a.k.a. Kidd or Billups, then you see where they're heading. They're trying to do anything and everything to keep Dame. And if you see that they get somebody else, I mean, I think you can see that they can end up trading Dame. And why not? Dame comes to the Lakers, right? Jason Kidd's already here. Jason Kidd said no. So if you want Jason Kidd, there's only one place you could go, and that's the Lakers.
That is true. I think it's going to be a very hard maneuvering with cap space to get him. But, I mean, anything is possible, like the great Kevin Garnett said. Now, me personally, I think the Trailblazers are going to do everything they can to please Damian Lillard. If he wants Chauncey Billups, I think they'll get Chauncey Billups. If they want to get him another sidekick, I think they can do their best to get another sidekick. But I think if you're the Trailblazers – now, one thing is for certain for the Trailblazers, if they get a new head coach, they have to make it past the first round. Because I think what this means is what the firing of Terry Stotts is, I think it was time. I mean, Terry Stotts, he was there for a long time. They really only made it past the first round twice. Made it to the Western Conference Finals only once. I mean, it was time for them to move on. I think now you have to look at Trailblazers and say, now you have to get the right head coach and you have to make it past the first round. Because if you get Damian Lillard, his head coach, and you're still a first-round exit, that's when you got to really consider, all right, now it's time to full-on rebuild. But I think if they get a guy in Chauncey Billups – maybe they make a pass the first round. We'll see what happens there. Let's move on to another coach that has been let go. The Orlando Magic move on from Clifford as their head coach. I think it was time. They finally move on. Who do you think the Orlando Magic go with as a possible new head coach? Do they go with a veteran head coach that's possibly available? Do they go with the possible Mark Jackson or Mike D'Antoni? Or do they go with somebody entirely new?
Because I think they're going to go with somebody entirely new. Entirely new, like maybe a Chauncey Billups, just for them to, you know, see the culture that he could develop. You know, I think we could expect somebody entirely new to join the Magic.
Yeah, most definitely. Because we've seen, like, teams that get a new head coach, like, they can excel well. I mean, look at the Atlanta. I mean, look at the Atlanta Hawks. They moved on from Lloyd Pierce, and they hired Nate McMillan. And Nate McMillan has excelled the Atlanta Hawks, propelled them to a fifth seed, and led them to a playoff series victory. Look at Monty Williams in Phoenix. Monty Williams has turned the Phoenix Suns around into a team that was a laughingstock, into a team that could legitimately make it to the NBA Finals. So hopefully the Orlando Magic could get the right head coach in there, and hopefully they could build the Orlando Magic back into a playoff contending team like they were back in the Dwight Howard days in the mid to late 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I definitely think so too.
If we look at Orlando, they have some good young pieces. They just need the right guy to lead the charge and lead them the way.
That part. Exactly. I would agree with you, my boy.
Yeah, and with that being said, let's move on to the NFL portion of this episode. Two big things that we'll discuss in the NFL. One of the biggest moves of all time, Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. What a move that is for both sides. We look at Atlanta, moving on from a player who's been a part of the franchise for over a decade. One of the greatest receivers in Atlanta Falcons history. Now moving on to the Tennessee Titans. And if we look at the trade result, the Atlanta Falcons give up, well, the Tennessee Titans trade, I believe it was a second and a fourth round pick. In return, they get Julio Jones. Now, Caleb, if you're looking at it from both sides of the spectrum, is this a trade where both teams win? Or do you believe one team won this trade more than the other?
I think the Titans won this trade more than any other team. I'd have to say the Titans won this trade more than any other team. Just because of the fact that Julio is still competitive, right? He still put up solid numbers last year. I don't know why Atlanta would trade him for not a first-round pick. I think that second-round pick is obviously definitely going to come in handy next year. But I think they could have got a first-round pick, and even if it was one first-round pick, I would have been fine with that over a second and a third and then a fourth, you know? Just my opinion. But I think, you know, the Titans end up winning that trade, not in the fleece, but just winning the trade for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. So Tennessee, I just now looked at the pick. So the Falcons are sending Julio Jones and a 2023 six-round pick. And then Tennessee, like I mentioned, they're sending a 2022 seconds and a 2023 fourth-round pick. I think I'm going to go at it from both sides. I think it's a win-win on both sides. You look at, if you're Atlanta, you finally get rid of one big contract. Because you look at – you had Matt Ryan's contract, which is hard to move off of, and you had Julio Jones. Well, they finally –
should have got off of Matt. They should have drafted somebody else and got off of Matt. But go ahead, bro. My bad.
But, I mean, you look at – it was one or the other. So they move on from Julio. And the thing is, they got good draft capital. Now, would it have helped if you would have gotten a first-round pick? Absolutely. But I think the reason why you didn't get a first-round pick was, we look at Julio, he's starting to get up there in age. He's starting to hit – I believe he's 32, and he's also been injured the last couple of years. But the thing with the Titans, though, is when you get him fully healthy, he is the best receiver in football. When he is 100% healthy, Julio Jones is the best in the business.
And on top of that, they're not going to be using him as much as Atlanta was. Atlanta was throwing the ball fucking every other play. They're just going to run it. Boom.
Yeah, definitely. And you also have to look at from the Atlanta side of things. Now you could see they got Kyle Pitts at number four. now you could start to see where Kyle Pitts is going to be. Is Kyle Pitts going to be like that tight end, or is he going to be like that big receiver, like a DK Metcalf built like receiver? So we'll see what Atlanta does from there. But you also look at from Tennessee, this could make Tennessee one of the teams to beat in the AFC, because look at this offense. King Henry, Mr. 2,000 yards rushing. A.J. Brown, second-year receiver, already made a Pro Bowl. And you got Julio Jones, possibly the best receiver in football. That's an offense right there. That's a top five offense in the making. But the one thing for Tennessee is, how is this defense going to be? Because this defense is going to be key for Tennessee. But offensively, this is going to be fantastic for Tennessee. And I also saw Julio Jones' number two. I heard how it adds up. 1 + 1 = 2. A.J. Brown is 11. Derrick Henry is 22. I mean, it looks like it's going to be hard to stop for Tennessee. But, I mean, I just look at it from both perspectives. Both teams win. Atlanta, they move on from their big contract. That means Calvin Ridley's now the guy. You can now spread the offense apart. And you look at from the Titans side of things, this is a move that could win them the division. I mean, we're talking – a lot of people had Indianapolis as one of the favorites in the AFC South. But the Titans getting Julio Jones, this could propel them into them now being a division favorite. So we'll see how both teams work. I think for Atlanta, it's still building, still seeing what they got. But for the Tennessee Titans, this is a move to where now you got to win a playoff game. You cannot afford now to get Julio and still lose a playoff game. No, there are no excuses now. You have to win at least one. Now, do I say you have to make the AFC Championship game? No, the AFC is too good, because you got Kansas City, you got Buffalo, you got Cleveland, New England. There's a lot of good teams.
They should be able to compete with them, though.
Exactly.
They should be able to compete with every one of those teams. Tannehill has to hold. The past two seasons, he fucking revived himself, and he's been looking like he's up to par. So if he continue to do what he does, Henry is continues to be effective. I mean, sky's the limit.
One thing I will say, the play action for the Tennessee Titans is going to be the most scariest play action of all time. Because you got to think, you got King Henry as a running back, and you play action, and you got either A.J. Brown or Julio Jones to guard. That's going to be scary. Because in my opinion, you can't double Julio, because A.J. Brown's that dude. You can't double A.J. Brown because you got Julio Jones. If the play-action game can work in Tennessee, boy, oh, boy, defenses are going to have a problem.
For real, though.
I can't wait to see Julio Jones in another uniform. It's going to be definitely exciting. And our final topic of discussion for this episode, and it's going to be two. You guys are lucky enough to see two. Last episode, we did matchups to look forward to in week one. For this situation, we're going to give you 2 weeks. We're going to do one matchup to look forward to in week two and one matchup to look forward to in week three. Now, Caleb, there are a lot of options to choose from. You got Chiefs, Ravens. You got Titans, Seahawks. You got Raiders, Steelers, Rams, Colts. You got a lot of matchups to pick here in week two. As a football fan or your favorite team, Caleb, what is one matchup you are most looking forward to watching here in week two of this 2021 NFL season?
There's no doubt about it. My eyes will be exactly watching Lamar Jackson versus Pat Mahomes. I feel like that's a game that we've seen like at weird-ass times of the day. They always come on in the morning or something like that. This one is scheduled at the perfect time, nighttime showdown. And that's who I'm looking at, man. I think the Ravens should have kept their lineman, Ronnie Stanley. That's who they traded. I think they should have kept him.
Yeah, they also traded, I think, Brown, too. Orlando Brown.
Oh, no, no, no. Then they got Stanley. They got Stanley. They just traded Brown. So I think they should have traded Brown. I mean, they should have kept Brown, and they should have just drafted a receiver with their pick in the first round. But instead, they went on ahead and traded that guy Brown, which was a good offensive lineman. So we'll see how that helps or hurts the Ravens' offensive line in their running game, and we'll see how it helps or hurts the Chiefs. And that's the game that I'm gonna be looking at week two, bro. For sure. Yeah,
now that game is a good option. I was going to pick that game, but this is a sleeper game, but I think this is going to be another game to where some people could tune in. Now, this is a morning game, but I think this is going to be a game to where some people could look at it and say this is a dark horse game. I'm going to say the Los Angeles Rams versus the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. You got the Rams defense with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and you got the Colts, their Colts top 10 defense with Carson Wentz. I'm definitely looking forward to this game just because of the fact of how will Carson Wentz look. And you also have to look at the quarterback matchup. Carson Wentz, Matthew Stafford. I think that's going to be a solid matchup to look forward to. Now, if you want to throw in another game, I was also thinking about this one. Dallas Cowboys versus the Los Angeles Chargers at SoFi Stadium. Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, two young quarterbacks dueling it out at SoFi Stadium. I think you can make a case for either one. Caleb, I think you made a fantastic choice with Chiefs-Ravens. I think that's a no-brainer. Sunday Night Football, Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson, two MVP quarterbacks in Baltimore. I mean, there's a lot of good matchups to look forward to in week two. But yeah, I think the cream of the crop matchup is your choice of the Chiefs versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, yeah. I would have to agree with myself and you as well, my friend.
Yeah, you give yourself a pat on the back there with that pick, because that's going to be a game everybody's going to tune into. And the final part of this episode, week three NFL matchups. There's a lot of matchups here that teams can look forward to. You got Sunday Night Football, my Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers. You look at, could it possibly be two young quarterbacks? Could it be Jordan Love versus Trey Lance? Could it be Aaron Rodgers versus Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo? You know, that's going to be a matchup everybody will look forward to Sunday night. Another rematch of the NFC Championship game of 2 years ago. Kyle Shanahan versus Matt LaFleur, year three. Let's see how it goes there. You also got Chiefs-Chargers. You also got Bears and Browns. You then got the Washington football team versus the Buffalo Bills. You got Buccaneers versus Ravens versus the Los Angeles Rams. Excuse me. You got a lot of options to choose from. Caleb, if you were to pick a game that you're most looking forward to for week three, whether that's your favorite team or another game you're just going to look forward to and enjoy your popcorn, what game would it be for week three that you're most looking forward to?
Man, you know what? I'm going to have to really sit there and tell you that the Colts and Titans game in week three is going to be definitely a good one. You got Carson Wentz coming back with a solid team around him. Have a solid offensive line, solid defense, and Tennessee's a solid team as well, as we just spoke about them. And I think that game will be a very, very good game. Plus, it's a division game, so that's something I'll be interested in watching. Definitely seeing how Carson Wentz performs this year in the playoff.
That is definitely a good pick there. I'm looking forward to that game as well. Now, I am going to be a full homer. I am definitely going to say I'm looking forward to the Packers versus Niners Sunday Night Football just to see what kind of team are the Green Bay Packers going to be. If Aaron Rodgers is at the helm, they're still going to be a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl. But if it's not going to be Rodgers there, if it is Jordan Love, I'm definitely going to look forward to see how that young kid is going to perform against a team like the 49ers who are competing for the playoffs. Now, you make a great case for the Colts and Titans just because Julio Jones in Tennessee, got the Colts, Carson Wentz, got the Titans, Ryan Tannehill. It's going to be great. I feel like another matchup that could very well be a sleeper is the Washington football team against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, two top 10 defenses. I think that's going to be a legit matchup to look forward to. Also, the Buccaneers versus the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium. This could possibly be a playoff matchup. If we're being honest, this could possibly be a wild card or a divisional round matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, if we're looking at it from that perspective, so I'm most looking forward to those matchups. I think week three of football is going to be great. I also think week two of football is going to be great. I think it's going to be exciting that we have 17 games. And overall, I'm just going to be looking forward to whenever football season starts on September 12th, week one. It's going to be excited. And with that, my friends, that will conclude episode 54 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. And before we go, Caleb, once again, where can the viewers find all of the great stuff that you do?
They can find me on Instagram at 1CalebConant, 1CalebConant. You can hit the link in there. There's other things too. Man, Matt, where can they find you, bro?
Man, they can find my stuff, my Instagram, Matt_20. I got a link in the bio, which is a link tree, which gives you access to where the MCS Real Sports Podcast is available. It's available on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. It's available everywhere. My Twitter is Matt_Skura. You can follow me there. I am Matt Skura. Got my great co-host, Caleb Conant. This has been episode 54 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. We are out of here.
Yes, sir.